And the other thing is streamlining. Because, you know, what I learned from working in, you know, in one business or working with an agency to working for myself as a solopreneur or working in a small business, the one thing that is completely true all around is that there's a shit ton of noise everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so like to really be able to remove that and be able to streamline processes so that you can focus really on what's needed for strategy and execution. That's the one thing for me that's been crazy is all the stuff that we know we should be doing that we don't in terms of what can we do to like not have to waste our brain power, you know, on some things we could focus that where we make the money.
Boom, boom, sh, boom, 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 sh, boom.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki, check wiki, wiki.
Welcome back.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hi. We got another good one. This one's actually a very awesome sort of technical, tactical episode for all of you conversion optimizer, webinar doer.
Webinar doers, yes.
Yeah, all you folks that like that do all the nerdy stuff like me, that likes to build landing pages and optimize conversions and do webinars.
I would argue it's also for the people who don't need to build anything. And still, they'll appreciate this conversation.
That's
because
true.
They understand, or they love to understand the psychology of things.
So what you're saying is this conversation's for everyone.
Yes.
Yes.
As long as you appreciate some of those things we just stated, you'll love this conversation that we had with Felicia Pagish. And she came prepared with a plan. We diverted her from her plan.
We totally derailed her plan for the first 30 minutes of this interview.
But I feel like we got her plan, but then tacked on with our plan as well, which really was just our collective cool plan that I think all really jived together.
Joved.
I think joved.
Okay.
Just jove.
If it behoves you. Behooves you.
Touche. All right, moving on.
So like the first half.
It's perfect.
The first half of this episode, we're really talking about webinars because Joe and I are doing more webinars in our business. And she has some really cool like repurposing concepts that she's doing with webinars. So we wanted to ask her about that. But then she also had her, you know, her four-step process for, you know, optimizing businesses. And we wanted to talk about that as well. So we managed to cover all the grounds here.
We did. So she's amazing. There is a cheat sheet or worksheet that I know I really want to get to basically to walk us through the exercise in this episode, but you can get that for free. And there will be a link in the show notes for that.
Yeah. So her website's activatebranding.com. So she said you could find the cheat sheets by going there, but we didn't have a specific URL to send you to yet, but those will be in the show notes.
Yep. So that's coming in this episode. I think that's about it. Let's just wrap it up there and say that we are doing the notes for you, as always. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this within 2 weeks of it going live, they are still free. If it's past that, I'm sorry, you were too late.
You should have listened to this episode sooner. I mean, still listen to the episode. There's a lot of good stuff.
Please do. But you can also get still notes from another episode, whatever that date is that you showed up, and there is an option to get all the archives and all that fun stuff.
Yes.
So get the notes at hustleandflowchart.com/comp, C-O-M-P. hustleandflowchart.com/comp or text the word comp to 38470.
Yes.
It is 38470, the word comp.
Yes. And also,
yes,
we have a Facebook group that we highly recommend you go hang out at.
Hot damn, yes.
Because we're being more quicker on this intro. I'm just going to shout this out. Go to flowchartgroup.com. That's where we discuss every episode. We post behind the scenes videos. A lot of these interviews that we do, like the one that we just did today, we actually have video footage of us doing these interviews now. We're actually recording a lot of these videos and we're sharing them in places like the Flowchart group. We're
in our membership, all that stuff, but yeah, Flowchart group.
Yeah, we're putting tons and tons of stuff. The community is amazing. A lot of amazing content in there. Like you're gonna get, it's basically like joining a paid membership site. Like the types of content you're getting, but it's just a free Facebook group that anybody can access over at flowchartgroup.com.
Yeah.
And then final thing, let's talk about Ahrefs.
Yes, Ahrefs. That's how you have to say
Ahrefs. It's spelled Ahrefs.com. It's our favorite SEO tool.
Like his,
we not, use no it in our business.
No one's seeing this, but his facial expressions are extremely animated right now, and they're looking right at me, kind of awkwardly.
Yeah. Sometimes I pretend like I'm on like a broadcast news station and people are looking at me, but while I'm doing it, I just stare Joe in the eyes and make him feel really awkward.
I kind of do feel awkward, and that's why I look away. I'm like, what else can I look at around this room?
Hey, Joe. Buy Ahrefs.
Okay. I already did. Have to buy it again?
You should. Okay. If you don't have two accounts with Ahrefs, then you're missing out on life.
My SEO-ness is not working as well.
Yes.
Because I don't have two accounts. Okay. All right. So I'll get on that. Let me talk about the one account that I do have and how much I love that one first, though.
Okay. Do that.
Okay. Because I think most people will probably be good with just one account.
Yeah.
Yes. It's great. It's like you have the ability to pretty much see everything that's going on in the search engines.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, it's not Google like just saying, hey, here's all of our data, but it sure as heck is pretty close to that.
I liked how when you said, here's Google saying, hey, you made it look like you were opening up like a trench coat. Like that was the move you did with your hands. Like was you were opening the trench coat. Like, hey, here we are.
Hey, check this thing. So this thing is
like opening the trench coat of the search engine is what it is.
Yes. So I've said cheat codes before. Now it's a trench coat.
Yeah.
Next week, I don't know what it's going to be, but yes, you pretty much see within the trench coat what's behind that or what's behind door number one. You know,
you'll be pleasantly surprised what's behind this trench coat.
Yes, because it's all the answers to your SEO, you know, all the content you're creating, all the ads you're running, the YouTube videos you're creating. Basically, that's Ahrefs.
Ahrefs.com, yes. $7, 7 days. You don't got a lot to lose. Nope. It's a buck a day. You can go check it out, see if it is going to help you out in your business. And most likely, you're going to stick around because it's going to help you out
in your business. So, Ahrefs.com, it'll get you there. $7, 7 day trial.
Yes, sir.
Let's go chat with Felicia. Felicia, we're recording. How you doing?
Hello, guys. From San Diego.
Heck yeah. I know. We're all, well, I guess Matt and I are not quarantined at the moment.
Yeah.
But San Diego still is, to date this podcast. That's cool. But yeah, when we're out of quarantine, because it's weird, we were all at Rich Sheffern's event back in February.
Yeah.
Don't believe we actually met or chatted there at all. It wasn't until after the fact when we started having some chats. And then we're all here. So we'll make the San Diego meetup happen one day here, since we know a ton of mutual buddies and, you know, people you worked with too.
100%. We'll all wear our masks and, you know, have a party.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, technically, I don't even think we're supposed to be in the same room recording, but we got over it.
So. The beautiful thing with podcasting is that we can release this like a month out. Yeah. And it'll be like, oh, it's fine.
Between you, I think you're good.
Yeah, we're 6 feet apart. Like,
we can't even reach each other.
Yeah.
That's what we should be. All right, Felicia. So we've been nerding out already. Like, I know you and I had a chat a month ago or so. And I think we were talking about some funnel that we were building out. We actually decided to tweak it a little bit. Totally different topic. But the fact is, you said something to me because you have this whiteboard behind you. If someone's watching the video, we publish it.
This guy. I have like four walls of whiteboard. I have some like that are even on the floor in case I need to like move it quickly for some reason.
A floor whiteboard. I've never heard of that.
Like a beautiful mind over here. You know?
Have you learned to like write with your toes? So you like real quick just, you know, on the floor right now.
With the quarantine downtime, I'm a little disappointed that I haven't yet, but I think I will.
You'll figure it out. Yeah. But you also told me what you're like, all right, so if you just like give me your funnel or like or chat about your funnel or really any funnel, it seems like you just like rip it apart. You'd be like, wrong, inefficient. Like you're not, you know, conversions suck here because of this thing. You just like tear them apart.
Yeah, basically. I'm basically a professional hole poker.
Yeah.
And then I'll say it nicer to you, but in my head, I'm like, yeah, just ripping it to shreds. Just, basically, it's, you know, 10 or so years of kind of looking at similar types of things. It's pretty easy to kind of go through and say, like, my superpower is to, when I'm working with a company or something, to look at their marketing assets or their marketing campaign. And really quickly, I'm just kind of able to zero in on, okay, this is exactly, you know, where a major impact or a major area of lift could be, or just kind of identifying those key holes and how to plug them up so that you can, you know, yield 6 to 7 figure results off of that, you know, small tweaks sometimes.
That's rad. Yeah. So I think we talked about that a little bit here, because if you're seeing the similar, because that's right, you said it, you're like, there's funnels are kind of similar. It's not like you're dealing with groundbreaking things throughout the entire funnel. Maybe there's like an element here and there that's slightly different, but
yeah.
Totally. Yeah. There's only so many ways you can really do it, you know, from one person to the other. And I think at this point in time, like, we've kind of discovered what the most of them are as far as how someone will consume and how long they'll stay in the different mediums, right? You just get really creative within what those ways are. And that's just kind of, you know, how funnels transpire.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, before we get into that stuff, let's get into your story real quickly. How did you get into this whole world of conversion optimization and the types of stuff you're doing now? What were you doing before this, and what made you want to get into this?
Yeah. So I'm from Pittsburgh originally. And I live in California now. So, you know, really I majored in broadcast journalism, in Philadelphia, and it was in January of 1 year. I flew to California with some friends. I could removed 18 layers of clothes, put on a tank top and some flip-flops. So I was like, okay, here I'll stay. So I came out here, and I ideally wanted to write, edit, create, and produce and things like that. So my first kind of job was doing red carpet interviews in LA. And I was like, that's super cool, not bad.
Yeah.
You know, from PA, you know?
Right.
That was just kind of like really flat and, you know, dull and just kind of kiss-assy, you know? So I actually, through a mutual friend of mine, met a guy named Eric Berman, who you guys, I'm sure you know.
Yeah, we know Eric well. Yep.
Yeah. So who's partners with Brian Tracy.
Right.
And probably, what is it, 12 years ago now, he said, hey, you know, I have an opening for a customer support position for, you know, this guy, Brian Tracy. And he's in personal development. And I'm like, okay, I like the idea of that. I don't know what the hell it is, but I like the idea of it.
Personal development. Sounds cool. Yeah.
Personal development. All right. You know? So from there, you know, it kind of started because in the customer support role, first thing that really got my buy-in was, you know, I'm talking to a lady and you can just hear in her voice, you know, how much Brian has changed her life. And she's just so grateful. And it was kind of the first time that I felt like, this is, in some small way, I'm a part of something that helps people in a profound way. And that was the first thing that was fulfilling about, you know, kind of that industry and that work.
Yeah.
And then from there, the other side of that job was basically people complaining that their CDs were scratched. So I had to go through every set of return CDs, and I basically listened to every word Brian Tracy's ever spoken.
Oh, wow.
And how I learned it all to the point where I could probably finish the sentences. So that was kind of the first like understanding of you know, what that industry was, which is where most of my career started. But then just from there, I spent 8 years working with Brian. So I moved into other roles, like the joint venture role. And I kind of created that in so much of a way. We had John Assaraf in our studio. Mm-hmm. We had Sonia Rafati, Brendan Burchard texting through launches. So just from that, I learned a lot about what launches are, what funnels look like, understanding them. And I realized it boils down to psychology. So long story short, what really got me interested in it was the realization that everything is psychology. And I'm fascinated by what makes people do the things that they do, why they act. So that's kind of like where the root of it really is. And, you know, from there, I just kind of became this huge nerd and like a sponge for this stuff. And then I go to, you know, I think One Traffic and Conversion, and I was just like up all night, like reading, writing, like flipping through stuff. And, you know, that's kind of 12 years ago. And then here I am now.
That's rad. I mean, I love that story because it's, yeah, like for me, like, you know, I said this earlier, like I've worked with a lot of the similar folks that you have as well as clients or just buddies. And I feel like when you do that, you are just like, you're almost like forced to be immersed into a lot of content, but also you then see what's really working in someone's business. And, you know, you're not publicly saying anything about it, but you're definitely taking a mental note. You're like, yeah,
sure.
That webinar flopped. I'm not following that thing, but this other thing they did, holy shit. Yeah. But,
I'm going to use that one later, you know?
Why not? Yeah. So I think it's really cool that you took that all the way from the support role to where you're at now. I mean, that's not normal at all, but that just shows that you're actually being a sponge of this stuff, picking up trends. And I don't know when it's good to maybe like, I kind of want to dig into some of these like things that you maybe have seen over the years, like these, I know you mentioned it with like funnels. There's only so many elements. There's only so many things that you've seen work really well. I'm kind of curious about what are a handful of those things and that people are using every day that might not be knowing they can optimize, or maybe it's something they're totally missing.
Yeah. I mean, with respect to that, we talked about this a little bit before, but truly for me, it's about, well, there's a couple things. There's what really works, and that for me is in terms of repurposing. Mm-hmm. There are like 6 or 7 different incredible ways to do that. And the other thing is streamlining. Because, you know, what I learned from working in, you know, in one business or working with an agency to working for myself as a solopreneur or working in a small business, the one thing that is completely true all around is that there's a shit ton of noise mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so like to really be able to remove that and be able to streamline processes so that you can focus really on what's needed for strategy and execution. That's the one thing for me that's been crazy is all the stuff that we know we should be doing that we don't in terms of what can we do to like not have to waste our brain power, you know, on something so we could focus that where we make the money.
Right.
So streamlining processes is number one. The second thing is taking what we have existing and figuring out how to leverage it in ways that we're not. Because either we're too close to it, or because we have this idea of what content is, and so it should be delivered this way when really it's just a simple shift of, you know, what content really is. And it's nothing more than a series of ideas, that can be expressed in a million different ways and in every way. And it should be, because people receive differently.
Yeah. No, and I mean, there's just so many different things that, so repurposing, like a lot of things that people will just kind of forget. Yeah. It's almost like there's podcast repurposing that you see a ton of people do right now. But then, like we're chatting about webinars, for instance, it's like, well, there's things that you can be repurposing there that you're completely ignoring. And it's like, well, that's another presentation of content. It's just another packaged thing that should be consumed by so many different modalities, because that's what people are like going to do psychologically.
Yeah. And here's the deal. It's like, it's so funny because, you know, with a webcast, it's like a full production, right? You have, you paid for video, you paid for maybe like a high end, you know, script or copywriter, or you did it yourself and the time of cost there. And you, you have your assets, you have your editing, you plan this so well because you believe that this is the best piece of material that will get someone to buy from you. Mm. Right. Selfishly, I'm super type A, and I will never, ever, I have written really great webinar scripts. I've never watched a single webinar from start to finish. I will not do it.
Similar to me. Yeah.
It's so funny because I was speaking at my friend Ron, Ron Reich's event not too long ago. And I actually gave this, the repurposing presentation. And I just figured, like, let's just see, like, gauge, because I don't know where everyone's at in this group, you know? So I said, okay, show of hands, like, who here likes the book over the movie? You know, like some hands go up, and I said, okay, everyone else, movie over book, cool. Set that all aside now. Let's talk about your marketing. Put your marketing hats on. Who here likes to, you know, who here uses in your marketing webinars? Every hand goes up. Video series, hands, podcasts, blogs. At one point or another, every hand is up, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Marketing hats off. Let's talk about you as a consumer now, okay? Who here uses, you know, or watches webinars as a means to learn or to purchase something, whatever? Not a single hand went up.
Freaking crickets.
Dead silence. And like everyone kind of busted into laughter because it's funny, right? Like we are all saying that this is our best foot forward, our best approach to get someone else to buy our stuff. And not a single one of us would have watched that to buy something.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just a funny thing where, you know, you don't have to create new content. You don't have to appeal to people with, you know, a new presentation or new content. What you do is you shift your perception around it and realize that, you know, there are lots of different ways to get that content consumed. And so that's particularly starting with the webinars, love, because that deconstructs into everything. I don't know if you can see that whiteboard. It's probably kind of like a glossy behind me. But basically a webinar deconstructs into a video series. That video series deconstructs into, you know, 3 to 4 different audios. That audio gets transcribed into 3 to 4 different, you know, three to four different blog posts or an ebook combined or a workbook if you had fill in the blank fields.
Right.
Like, there's just so many amazing ideas around that for the people that have told you they're interested in your content because they opted into whatever the topic was. Maybe they showed up and maybe they left or for whatever reason, you know, didn't take the action that you wanted them to. They've shown you clearly that they're interested in what you have to say. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to do it the way you want them to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So doing everyone a disservice really to not make it available in that variety of ways.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that they registered for that webinar, that's sort of them raising their hand saying, look, I'm interested in this content, but
tell me more.
Yeah. So how, what are some of the ways that you would use some of this repurposed content? Let's say we did get the transcripts or we broke it up into little videos. What can we do with that stuff?
So the first thing is, you know, if you have reason to believe that your webinar is your best asset, obviously you go with that first, right? Mm-hmm. So people are going to show up, they're not going to not show up or whatever it may be. Everything's behaviors, right? So you're always making an assumption based on a behavior. So, you know, in the event that someone, you know, doesn't show up or doesn't watch it all the way through, you might even consider putting on the webinar page just a download of the transcript. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about the download of the transcript is that every, you know, so often there's a nice little soft sell link in there that says to learn more, to skip reading and learn more, go here.
Link.
Drive them right to, you know,
mm-hmm. That's right.
And it goes to, you know, if it's a live launch, obviously you don't want that to drive to your live offer page, but maybe you have an evergreen sales page that you drive it to instead. Something that what's really cool a few months later when you're getting sales and don't realize where they're coming from, it's coming from the transfer.
Nice. Okay.
So that's a really cool way to do it. A lot of people have, you know, opposition to that because they feel like people need to wait until a certain time when an offer is being made. But that's not, it's such an archaic concept because people need instant gratification. We're in an instant gratification world. So waiting until you decide they should see an offer, it's kind of silly. People will decide on their own and know right away whether they want something or not.
Well, it's like you're forcing a customer journey, which like everyone's different. Everybody consumes naturally in a different way. Why would you try to swim upstream and force something down someone's throat? It's like, just give them what, you know, everybody consumes in different formats, have all the modalities ready for them.
Well, it's so funny because I'm such a nerd that like whenever I can tell a webinar is automated, I actually view the source of the webinar, figure out if I can download the video and fast forward to the offer. And if the offer is good, sometimes I'll even buy it. But like, I didn't have the option if I had to pretend like I was watching this thing live.
If I can't scrub it, I'm out, period. Yeah. Like if I can't scrub through it, because I'll know right away. I can make a decision for myself if this is something for me or not.
Yep.
And if I can't scrub, I'm out, period. Yeah. And that's why you're missing out on all of those kinds of people. Really, like, it's crazy for the marketers don't think about that because most of us won't do it ourselves. So why wouldn't we do something to get more people that are like us? Just as one idea, you know? That I like to do that. The other thing I like to do with the webinar transcript is to put it in a follow-up sequence for the webinar. So say the webinar is what you lead with because you think that's your best asset. And then in your follow-up sequence, it's not called a transcript anymore. Maybe now we rebrand that. We call it an ebook. So, hey guys, get this brand new 36-page ebook, which is your webinar transcribed with the full page table of contents. You remove the tip and tail from your webinar, put, you know, just your basic introduction and closing, a bio page, and then have a whole one page offer slapped at the bottom of it. You know, because someday someone's going to read that ebook, they're going to see that one page offer, you're going to get sales trickling for months, and you're going to like pat yourself on the back so hard. It's the coolest thing.
Yeah. There's actually a really cool tool. There's a tool called Designer that we've used in the past by a guy named Paul Clifford. And it will actually take the transcripts, but it'll actually like screenshot the video at certain intervals, and you can load those into your PDF as well.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And even, I love doing that too. The other cool thing to do with that is when you're trying to get people to show up for your webinar. So you get someone to opt into a webinar, right? Mm-hmm. There will be people that opt into the webinar who, you know, like the topic, but they're not interested in the idea of a webinar, so maybe they don't show up. Other people, you know, like the idea of a webinar, so they'll show up. But there are people that would be interested in reading an ebook about that topic.
Oh, yeah.
So what's really cool, and I love to test, this is a really fun test, is to play around with featuring like two A-B test landing pages or opt-in pages. One is, you know, ebook first plus bonus workshop on XYZ. So yeah. The focus on the page is, you know, ebook, how to X, Y, and Z, da, da, da. And then right below that, little starburst, plus bonus 1 hour workshop, right? So now you're appealing to everyone who wants the ebook first, but then you can still put them in the workshop campaign just as it is. You can still put them webinar first if you want. You can play with that a little bit. But on the other hand, if there are people that like the idea of a webinar, you're only enticing more people when you flip-flop it and say webinar first plus bonus ebook. It's just a way to appeal to like a massive amount of more people by incentivizing them with an extra thing.
It's so damn smart. I mean, it's
I'm making notes because I'm like, we're running a webinar next week and I'm like, I'm doing this shit.
No, but it just makes so much sense because that is the very first point, conversion point out of this whole webinar sequence. Like for us, we're promoting affiliate webinars, so it's not really our own, but either way, it matters the same. We're trying to drive people to a registration page. It could lead with a written text of a book that might seem a little bit less daunting, maybe, or less, I don't know, whatever, some trigger maybe that, like, with the word webinar, you know, like, no, it's a bonus masterclass, it's a bonus workshop, online workshop, whatever it is.
No one's going to be mad if you give them something else for free that they don't care about anyway.
Now, would you have a separate, would you have, like, on the thank you page after that, would they be different, like, custom to what they just showed up as? Like, hey, you're going to get an ebook first, and then, hey, we'll remind you in the next couple days with this online workshop that's coming.
Yeah, and that's going to be totally up to you based on what your best, you know, best component is in your follow-up campaign. Like, if you know for a fact that, like, your webinar is where you want people to go first, then, you know, obviously it's like, hey, thanks. Check your inbox for your free gift, but first, like, focus on the webinar. But focus on the webinar, right? So you still deliver on your promise, but like you're focusing them where you want them to be.
Yeah.
So it's something that you'll play around with as you go to see like what really works and that kind of thing. But the other thing that's really cool is, you know, aside from a webinar, you can basically deconstruct that into like a because a webinar, what does it consist of? Like what, an intro, a point one, point two, point three, offer, close. Mm-hmm. Basically, like. Layout, right? Mm-hmm. So slice it up into a 1 point video, 2 point video, 3 point video. Now you have a shorter, more consumable series to get someone who might be interested in that. Plus, now you have three different angles, right? Because someone might care about the first point, but not care about point number three, or vice versa. Like now you have three different opportunities and three different content points to get someone to consume your content that way.
Now, would you put a little like pitch on the end of each one of these videos? So like point one, mini pitch, point two, mini.
Yeah, you tip and tail it all. So basically, right, if you have your webinar recorded or whatever, what you'll do is you'll sort of remove everything before you get into talking point number one, right? You'll just do a voiceover that says, hey, so-and-so, today I'm going to talk about just this one thing, topic one, blah, 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 right? And then when you go into the close, it's like, if you like this video, you're going to get all this awesome stuff. When you get my program, just go to this URL, right? And then you pop that up on the screen. So just editing out tip and tail here, tip and tail here, tip and tail here. And then what's really cool about that is you can just take those individual things and now you have like a 4-page action guide on step one of whatever this thing is, right? So now it's a download too. Maybe your video series has a workbook with it because it's a transcription and then three questions you talk about, you put into a PDF with some fillable fields that they can write in their own answer for.
You used to do that, Matt, right? Like, well, that was a pre-work book, which could be here.
Well, we used to do webinars where we'd give them like a workbook and it had like, like blank lines. And basically we just took some of the slides from the webinars, put them into a PDF and then deleted words from some of the slides so that they had to fill in the blanks as we got to those slides. That was more of a mechanism to like make sure they were staying with us on the webinar.
Sure. Yeah, but, that's true. 100%.
And that kind of, people love that kind of stuff. I mean, especially if you can give it to them in a way that doesn't feel like a workbook that's like consumable. Like if you just have one topic, a video that's 10, 15 minutes, and then one thing, you know, at the end of it, where you just, this one important question that you answer for your business that you can implement right now, it doesn't feel like it's like work anymore. It's consumable and it's actually value. And so it's all about, you know, positioning, which is the stuff that marketers are good at.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. So, yeah. No, I love that. And oh my God. Yeah, I'm just seeing of all the different chunks and like they're it's like the layers. I said the microphone. It's like the layers of things. Like each 1, 2, 3 things. Yeah, tip and tail. You can almost like pre-record that if you had a guest, if you wanted to. I'm sure. Like, hey, let's go after you're done with this webinar. Prior to, let's pre-record these intros and outros to my repurposed assets so they completely flow. And, you know, you have the system going into it.
I was just thinking, even for JVs, what you could do is, like, say you were promoting someone else's JV, say, like, one of their, you know, opt-ins was, like, an ebook or something. It would be really cool to do would be to shoot a video interview of, like, you with that person is doing, like, a little cool collaborative, like, interview to put at the front of it forward. You know, something like that that like, ties you specifically to that ebook, too. You can do something like that that you can personalize. Oh,
smart. And Lord knows that we're sitting on a bunch of that content for all the people that we promote. So it's
all the people we do webinars for, we always record a podcast with them as part of the promotional strategy for the webinar. So 100%. We have the content already.
Always.
And you guys are transcribing that, right?
Of course.
Yeah,
we do transcribe. We can go all over the place. Yeah. So, all right. So my mind's already blown. I know you've written down a lot of specific things that we'll implement like literally this week. Thank you, Felicia. Appreciate that.
One more thing to add to that too, really quick before we get on that point, because this is also super cool. One of the things about the ebook is, you know, you have your offer page, you have your soft sell links, whatever it may be. Another really cool and easy trick is if you have an evergreen webinar, you pop that in there too and literally re-opt someone back into your funnel to put them right in front of your best sales piece. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Assume that people aren't, to assume that people have seen this and are not interested in it is kind of like really, you know, patting ourselves on the back. Like, don't flatter yourself as much. People haven't spent that much time or put that much thought into, you know, they looked at this email, they went to the opt-in page, but they didn't show up. Like, they don't really care that
much. That's so a good point. Put it back in front of them. Yeah, put it back in front of them. People aren't really paying attention to you as much as you think they are. It's like, oh, people don't care about what you look like more than what you care about yourself. Yeah, it's that whole thing. But yeah, why would you assume that everyone was available at this one time that you're doing this webinar, that they're even seeing your replay announcements? It's like, no, like, go give them the opportunity on all these modalities in the future perpetually. Run some traffic to it, whatever you got to do.
Do not flatter yourself is the key.
Get out of your way.
I mean, we say that with like email all the time. I think so. We email our list at least once every day. And I used to like freak out thinking, you know, I'm emailing my list too often. But I think that's just us over analyzing how much people actually pay attention to us. 100%. Like nobody, I doubt anybody even realizes we're mailing them once a day. But
I do because I look at that. But then I realize that I bet you're emailing your list because you make money.
Yeah.
100%. And people are literally asking for it too. So.
Correct. Yeah. Like, people get all in like a tizzy about like emailing their list too much. Well, no, you do it because you make money from it every time you email your list.
Yeah.
So if you have a good reason and are strategic about it, it's the best way to make money.
Yeah. And it's weird because we'll do this thing where, you know, if we like don't mail for 2 days, maybe we'll go to 2 days without emailing. We'll get people emailing our support going, did I unsubscribe from your list? Like, I haven't seen your emails. So
that's awesome. What a great way to train your list to expect that from you. That's
right?
Huge.
It's not like we ever said anything, but yeah, it is huge. It's an expectation thing. All right. So is there anything around webinars specifically that we're missing here? Because
that's hard on our mind right now.
selfishly, we're loving this, but I know a lot of the folks that are listening also run webinars. I mean, really, you could do this with any kind of thing you have, like I'm assuming, like sales videos. Like it's any modality that you think you're putting out in the web to sell a thing or get an opt-in or whatever. It's like, just think of all these other ways that you could present that offer.
Yeah, I mean, and again, this is the same thing. The only other thing I would think to say is like, when you think you're out of blog content, if you have a webinar, you're not out of blog content because you have, again, whatever those topics are that are in your webinar, you break those down. You know, if you have, you know, 3 main talking points, you should have at least, you know, 6. You could probably get at least two blog articles out of each of those talking points, right? So you should have at least 6 pieces of blog content to mail people to, right? And then so you take your email, you drive people to your blog that's about topic 1, 2, or 3, and guess what the call to action is at the end of the blog? If you like this, you should watch my webinar where I talk all about this and other things. You know, so it's like a great way to drive people back into that funnel without directly saying, here's a webinar.
Yeah. This is him. So, let's get more ideas. He's like, pen to paper, all right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. I just love the fact that it's like if a lot of us will figure out to create this masterpiece, this thing, we'll spend a lot of money on copywriting and all that. And sure, it might do great, but then you feel like you need to start layering on more traffic to that one thing, or let's get a bunch of JVs to just promote that thing, which is all great, but you could probably 2x, 3x, or whatever more if you're expanding the registrants that go into that thing.
That's the thing, is like that content is really great for the people that it works for, and it's really sad and a waste for the people that it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what you do, you could find more people that will consume it this way, but you're also leaving like the other 95% of the people out of the loop who just want that content but consume differently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, don't deprive people just because they don't like webinars. Like, don't hate me because I'm not watching it.
That's right. And it's kind of like us with, I'll just prime example that our listeners know is like, we have our podcast, but we also take notes on every single episode. So someone's taking notes of our episodes right now. Matt's just wanting to implement this a little quicker. But like, that's not a transcription, but it's definitely a condensed version, 4 pages of this interview here. And then that gets turned into a physical newsletter as well, which like,
it's exactly.
Yeah. So you can do this all over the place with anything.
You can do it all over the place. Let me see what else I have. Yeah. Oh, so FAQ resources. Sometimes I forget. There's just so much shit you could do. The FAQ resources, right? When you have people that, when you build out your campaign, right, there's a lot of, you already know like what the objections are that people have. Hopefully, if you're doing it right, you know what the objections people have, and that's what's in your sequence, your sales sequence to overcome those, right? Everything that you have in your webinar is also designed, I'm sure, to overcome those objections. Mm-hmm. So instead of going and creating a separate like FAQs part of your follow-up, mm-hmm. that transcription portion from your webinar, pop that into your follow-up sequence for anyone that, you know, you feel matches the behavior of interested, maybe watched the webinar or took that kind of action but hasn't bought yet. Transcribe those FAQs and just put that into your follow-up sequence for that segment of people and overcome their objections with it.
Mm. That reminds me of Mike Koenigs, which I know you know, a buddy of ours as well. And he had the whole, it's like 10 by 10 by 4 or something. Yeah. I don't know, model. Yeah, and it was like, 10 FAQ should ask questions and then closing kind of questions. But essentially he was saying the similar thing is like, you know, all the objections, you know, all the pain points, the hurdles, like why not just create each one of those can be a content piece and those can be follow-ups. They could be YouTube videos. They could be on your blog, whatever. But like, you said 6 things for a webinar. Holy moly. If you really want to get crazy, like, yeah, you might have like 20 things, you know, from
you
one
webinar. You pay for all this stuff. Why wouldn't you squeeze the juice, you know?
Damn like, right, yeah.
We pay for our time and our money for all this stuff. Like, I mean, I grew up like pretty poor, so I'm pretty mm-hmm. crafty at like, you know, basically getting what I need and stuff. So if I'm paying like a good amount for like content, whether it's with my time or money, like you better believe I'm squeezing that juice.
I like that. It's a good quality.
And it's not the same as podcasts, obviously, but give people an option to download an MP4 into an MP3.
Mm.
So okay. That, you know, for the people that, you know, use their, you know, download things and listen to music at the gym or whatever it may be, people that listen to podcasts may very well just download your 1 hour webinar and listen to that at the gym. The only thing is, obviously, when you have an audible call to action, you need to create a link that is super short and super simple for them to drive to that page. So just making sure it's like www.thisisrealsimple.com/go-here.
Yeah. Would you recommend that to be in the follow-up sequence, or would you actually put that in like the main webinar, like, hey, here's a download option and all that stuff?
I wouldn't, because you can pretty much be sure. I mean, unless you have a reason to believe it would be equally as effective as your webinar, right. I wouldn't. But it's kind of like one of those things where, what haven't I tried yet? Now that I've shown them the webinar, now that I've given them a transcript, if I haven't tried to give it to them audibly yet, let's just put it out there and let's just see if, you know, we can get some bites.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? You know?
I mean, no one really knows. We're all making this up anyway. So it's like the more things that we know is kind of working, let's test them out.
Everything is worth a test, right? Everything, mm-hmm. as long as it's trackable, it's absolutely worth a test. And what works for one person, we all know won't work for somebody else. But, you know, as long as you have this stuff, it doesn't cost any more time or money. That's the beauty of this stuff, is that it doesn't really cost much more time or money to repurpose these things. So it's kind of like free sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now I know before we hit record, you said you had like some stuff that you want to touch on, and we totally steered the conversation towards webinars because we have webinars that we're coming up on. So we're being very selfish there, but I want to talk about some of the stuff that you had kind of like prepped that you wanted to get into as well.
Yeah, I know. Like, I can just go on for webinars for like the next hour. I honestly am a huge nerd, and I really do like, this is my favorite thing. I'm just super geeky. Like, I could call, if I had more friends that were marketers, which I do pretty much only have friends that are marketers at this point. I would like talk all day and geek out about launches or like what's working or, yeah. You know, this is the stuff that is really fun for me. So, but yeah, so anyway, the thing I was going to talk about is just kind of, you know, it's kind of about, you know, for people, I'm sure you guys have a lot of like entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, small mm-hmm. business owners, those kinds of things too.
Yep.
And one of the things that I've created sort of after 10 years of like having all of that noise, when you're doing a million things at once, you're juggling a billion balls, is to kind of streamline things in a way that is super duper efficient and allows me to kind of focus on what I really need to focus on in my business, which is being highly strategic and making sure that things are executed so that I can continue to grow the business and grow revenue. So after like 10 years or so of like letting things fall through the cracks, you know, and like learning and wanting to kick myself for having launched something when I didn't think about this thing first,
yep.
or whatever it may be, I created this really cool process that it's basically painless and brainless. Like when you just need to, you know, come up with the campaign, or when you're thinking of an idea to launch a product, or when you're looking for an optimization strategy, you just kind of start. And sometimes when you start, you just realize way too far into it that like, I wish I would have thought of this one thing first. That would have yep. been so helpful.
This sounds
but
good.
Because of all the noise around, you forget. It's easy to forget about those things. So basically what I created is just a really cool way to clear the noise, be super efficient. And it's kind of like a four-phase framework for mm-hmm. For simplification that allows you to basically bang out six-figure strategies in like 25 minutes.
Ooh, that sounds good. To me. Yeah, that sounds pretty dang good.
Cool. It's actually pretty cool. And I have a really cool checklist that I can give everyone, whoever wants it as well.
Yeah, let's do
but
that.
But basically, when you think about business, like, you know, we talk about a lot of different things, but at the end of the day, the business only needs to do three things really well. It needs to have a great product or service. It needs to have a highly effective way to sell your product or service. And it needs people that will buy it. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of business simplified, right? Like it's your mm-hmm. whole ecosystem is those three things. So taking, you know, kind of a step back and just realizing that that's all there really is. So what am I getting my leads from today? Where am I getting my sales from today? What can I do to improve my processes to get more of one and two? So basically it's these four phases. It's evaluate, it's estimate, it's execute, and escalate. So evaluate, estimate, execute, and escalate.
Okay.
This is really cool because it applies to everything that you do in your business, whether it's launching a product, whether it's optimizing a product, whether it's putting together your marketing campaign, your marketing launch. These four things are in all of those. So it can be brainless and painless for you to walk through a process that helps you to get to the best version before you do go into execution.
Perfect.
So, so phase one, evaluate. Do you guys like Jurassic Park at all? I'm like a huge Jurassic Park fan.
Which one, I guess, huh?
one.
Like, the original. Yes, of course.
Okay. So I'm a huge Jurassic Park fan. You know, the part where the guy goes, you scientists spend all the time thinking about whether you could. You never stop to think about whether you should.
Yeah, yep. I do remember that. Yeah.
I watch it a lot. So anyway, this is the point.
We showed it to my kids like a month ago, so it's fairly recent for me.
That's another movie I got to write down. My two big notes of the day have been watch Predator, and then now it's to watch Jurassic Park again.
Jurassic Park is so good. It's so good. So the point is like, not every idea is a good one. Like not every idea is a good idea, and that's okay. But you really need to be strategic when you vet it out, before you invest your time and money and resources into that. Like that's all pretty obvious stuff, but you know, assuming that you've done the work to move past like, you know, your, your demographic, you've done the competitive research, like that's all in my document too, some good like work through stuff. But assuming like, you know, the audience knows to, you know, you want to look at market saturation, you want to look at your unique selling proposition, all that kind of stuff. Assuming that's all done, there's a really awesome process that I go through. I take out a single piece of paper and I write down these questions and I answer them just like I'm talking to you in a full sentence. Every word is written out. There's no abbreviations. This is just me explaining to you exactly what I'm trying to do. It's a killer exercise. So the first thing I write down is, what is the goal? What is my goal of this project? And I say this because we don't hold ourselves accountable for these kinds of things. That's the problem. We all know in our mind what our goal is, but it doesn't turn out that way because we don't hold ourselves accountable. And that's what this process does. So I write out the goal of my project, like, the goal of my project is to blah, 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 and I explain it every word in two or three sentences, just like I would be talking to you. The second question is, you know, what's the project description? And this is in two parts. Basically, the project description is to provide a detailed description of the completed project. Like, the completion of this project from my point of view looks like this, 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 and this, right? Whatever that is. The second part of that, though, is to describe the project from the customer's point of view. So it's basically like, you know, specifically, how does it work? What does it do? Is if your customer was explaining it to a friend of theirs, you know, like, here's this thing, right? Because what's interesting is when you look back later, you'll find a lot of times those two things don't match up.
Well, yeah, and that's usually the thing that what people totally forget about. It's like, oh, what do my customers think about this? How are they perceiving this whole thing? Not from my side.
100%, exactly. And so, so that's a really important part of it. The third thing is, how does, and by the way, these two things are interchangeable. I say like this product or this campaign, because you can go through this entire process using a product or a campaign, whatever it is. So how does this product or this campaign accomplish its goal better, faster, and easier? So if it's, you know, a product, compare it to, you know, a competitive product. If it's a campaign, compare it to even a previous campaign.
Right.
So it's basically holding yourself accountable. Like, if I'm going to go through this process, explain to yourself how it's going to do this better, faster, easier, or are you wasting your own time?
It's almost like you got to sell yourself on your own product. And if you could do that and be like, hell yes, this thing is great. Cool. Good. Move ahead.
Especially when you're, you know, when you're running your own business, like, you're the one making the decision. So like, it's kind of nice to have yourself to put yourself in check when you can think about it.
Yeah,
you know,
you live in a freaking bubble, or you're just going to, you know, it's, you're not going to get anywhere. So yeah.
Right. And so the last thing is, just, is it scalable? And, you know, it doesn't have to be scalable, but it's something that when you're about to invest time and money into something, you want to be asking yourself that at this point in time while you're planning, because that's going to change the outcome of your plan. So that's kind of all of the phase one, like the, you know, the should I part? Should I part, as far as like for yourself? Yeah. Then there's the estimation phase. Like, I always go through a phase of like, you know, everything's a cost. So if I'm going to do this instead of doing something I want to be doing, let's make sure it's worth it. So your time and money estimation of your current bandwidth. Like, do I have the bandwidth to do this? Estimation of the total resources you need in terms of hiring contractors, staffing, physical product costs, assets, estimation of time required to create the product, time required to get the product market ready, estimation of time and resource costs like physical products, digital products, copywriter, ad spend, graphics, like all those kinds of things. This is all stuff that like you'd be surprised when you see yourself write it down. It's almost like the difference of like how easy it is to swipe a credit card versus pulling out cash.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
This is that part of it, right? This is the part where you're actually pulling out the cash so that you can see what it looks like first.
Well, and as entrepreneurs, I would assume that we always underestimate the amount of time and cost that go into making this thing a reality.
Everything. And then you're always saying like, if I had to do it all over again, would I? You know, so this is kind of like just putting those two pieces in place before you kind of go into execution mode. So after you kind of go through those two pieces of the process, you're either going to say, yeah, screw that, I was an idiot, sorry, I didn't mean that. And you're going to move on to something else, or you're going to say, okay, it's a go, let's move forward, right?
Yep.
And then you kind of go into your execution mode. But what's cool about this process is you're actually kind of created something of like a makeshift campaign brief. Mm-hmm. Which is a great way to kind of have something that you can then put into a project plan, because this is not actionable, right? This is just an overview. So the way that you can hold yourself accountable is by taking all of these things and popping them right into, what I have is like an Asana template, project mm-hmm. management template. Yep. So I copy and paste this line, pop it into my Asana, line, and then I sign it out with a due date, a deadline, and now it's in motion.
So in Asana, do you have like all of these different categories already laid out, like, you know, based off of previous projects and all that? You just plug all that stuff in.
I totally do wish I had like a bunch of different ones, but I know that I wouldn't be, I know that something that would work for me has to be something that is so super quick and easy to plug away. I can't be like organizing. I don't have time to organize that much. So, whatever I create has to be something, like I said, 25 minutes to strategy, you know? Basically, from that overview, which is, by the way, a template that I do have, that I then turn into my Asana template, which has every single thing you can ever think of from start to finish, so that you just take what you need and you just delete what you don't. And then that way you can just, you know, you don't have to worry about anything else. You haven't let anything slip through the cracks and you can just go from there. And I'll share all those with you guys too, or your people also.
That would be cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Sweet. And then just lastly, it's to escalate, which is just the optimization phase where you're, you know, doing the same thing there as well. You're going through and looking at the goals that you set forth to accomplish from your overview, mm-hmm. and then your actual gauge, which is the numbers, you know, the actual results of the thing. You look at the stats, find the holes, fix anything that's broken functionally, not things that are broken or in terms of being weak in the funnel. Because a big mistake that people make, I think, is when they look at their stats, their initial reaction is to go through and like, oh, we got to fix this. The stats are really low here or here. It's like, hold on a second. Let's look at what's working. Like, parts are working. Let's do more of this, you know? Like, as long as the thing's functioning, let's just do more of that first and like worry about the weak stuff later.
So you would look at things like, I mean, the main KPIs, like list growth, I would assume, sales conversion, and what, maybe watch time of a webinar or something like that.
Totally. Like where's the biggest drop off? Like if you're getting, you know, if you're getting an astronomical amount of leads coming into this, but they're dropping off before they see, you know, their first 3 minutes of the webinar, it's like, okay, this is the part where we need to focus because obviously we can't get to a sale from this point.
Right.
And then if it's something like, you know, beyond that, where you're in like a follow-up sequence or something like that, then I would, you know, I would likely say, let's worry about that later. We need to figure out how point A to point B is, you know, is causing such a problem. But, you know, people tend to want to see like, oh, this page just isn't converting as well. And it's like, you know, the third or fourth video page, it's like, who cares? You know, who cares right now? Let's do what's working, dump more of that in, because if X increases by 3%, we know that Y will result in, you know, this many sales or results. So that's the whole booking.
I like it. This is super cool. How do we get this workbook thingamajigger that you have? Do you have a cool link or should we just...
I actually do. I like I said, again, I don't even know what it is. I can find it on my website.
That's all good.
Well, you could send us the link and we can just...
Perfect. Yeah.
We'll make sure it's in the show notes.
Yeah,
that'd be great. I'll give you guys a link. And like I said, it's really cool. It's all in there. It's really the whole down dump of ideas and things like that. And then I'm happy to give anyone the templates as well, because as brainless as I can be for the stuff that I can be brainless for, I want to be.
I wish I had a brain more like an A-type, like yourself. I mean, like, seriously, it's because, like...
I thought you were going to say, I strive to be as brainless as possible.
Well, why not? I mean, conserve energy, right?
That's true. I mean
but like, yeah, because there's a lot of folks that, including myself, will be like, okay, well, this little thing, like, just, we all have these natural hang-up points. You know, I feel like you get hung up on a certain thing, but if, like, you can really just follow a simple plan and stick with it to just get the thing out there. Like, that's like 80% of the effort. It's just like, get it out there, go. And
execution, right? Like ready, fire, aim almost. And that's kind of the thing for me too, is that like, I can get caught in such an idea phase or like a planning phase or like, should we do this or that? That it's like, you know, 3 months later and nothing has happened yet. I needed something to like hold myself accountable to make sure I get into execution. Because one thing I noticed is that, like, when you go from an agency where you have a million resources available to you versus running your own business and being like the only resource, it's on you 100%. You really got to find a way to get to execution fast.
Yeah.
So this is a great way to kind of get yourself focused in that thought process, get it down on paper, check all the boxes, and just get it rolling.
I know you're big on like conversion optimization type stuff too. Are there any things that you've seen where like small tweaks, you know, small hinges swung big doors, small tweaks that made really big impact? Is there any like maybe one or two things that you've seen in some of the products you've worked on where, you know, maybe you didn't think it was that big of a deal, but just making the small tweak made a big difference?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I see just really, really commonly is with people that have a click to schedule type mm-hmm. funnel where they're doing high-end coaching or consulting, you're getting someone on the phone. There's a lot of things in this type of model where people have this idea around like what the follow-up reminder emails should be and what they look like. A lot of times you think that, you know, sending them the nudge to like reminder to, I see this a lot with this type of funnel is a reminder, don't forget to schedule your call, reminder, don't forget to schedule your call, without using like the angles or the pain points. It's really more so in the follow-up of, there's a group of people that have told you that they, you know, want to schedule a call, but they haven't taken that action yet. There's a whole other group of people that, basically you haven't enticed yet to even do this. So just really, really a lot of follow-up sequences that are designed to get someone to take an action without using angles and pain points specifically that appeal to that group. It's a lot of the messaging in the follow-up that really matters.
Yeah.
And also consumption, getting other types of content in front of them that you may need an extra step in the education or nurture process. Give them an ebook with a call to action to schedule a call. Or, you know, what else can you do to get them to consume something and overcome an objection?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Because I don't know how many times I've opted in for something and then maybe didn't schedule a call, but then started getting emails about scheduling a call, and I'm getting the emails and I'm like, I don't even remember what I'm supposed to be scheduling a call for. It's just like, they're reminding you to schedule something that you don't even remember like what you're scheduling this thing for. And it's just never going to happen at that point. That totally makes sense.
Yeah. And it's, I'm not much of like a red button or green button kind of person. Cause I feel like those are just so nominal, like dumb. I like stuff that like makes a real, you know, like, I don't care if your headline is like 18 font or, you know, 12 font, it's not a test to me.
Right.
It's like real big, real moving stuff. So.
Yeah. I think my philosophy when I do split testing has always been like, I want two dramatically different things because I want dramatic results, right? Like if this page looks completely different, this page, like I want this one to outconvert this one by 50%. I don't want to like try to go from a 3% conversion to a 3.2% conversion. Mm-hmm. Like I don't care about that.
I tend to be with you on that. Like I get the whole need of like control versus variation, like has to be true to this, to be this, but I'm like, let's see something like crazy different and dramatic and different. So like multivariate is a cool way to just say, look, I know this is an apples to apples, but who cares? Look what we did over here.
Yeah.
You know, way better. So who cares?
Right. Exactly.
Do the little tweaks later. It's like, go for the big, exciting boost.
Right. Yeah. The big stuff. That's what matters. You know, and there's just so many ways to do that. Long form, short form, video, like that is stuff like that matters. I think just because, you know, people on a mobile device can't watch videos the same way and there's distractions, like just little things like that, being cognizant of, you know, where most of your consumption comes from and then optimizing pages for that. That's all stuff that's pretty common, things that we know.
But I think at the end of the day, it's like something that I just keep hearing over everything you're saying. It's just like, you know, almost think about the customer journey or the prospect, whoever, and from their shoes, how are they experiencing this whole thing you're putting out into the world? And if you're not shaping it up for them, then you're probably doing it wrong, or you're leaving a lot of money on the table.
You're 100% right. It's often, and like to no fault of our own, it's often done in a way that we would like to consume it, not necessarily in a way that is best for our consumers to, and that's just, I think, human nature. Like this is what we think will work, but it's really good if you have someone else, someone who's the complete opposite learning type as you, or someone that's completely different from you in every way, to run it by them. They'll probably give you some completely different different for them, and it's great to just incorporate that too.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. Pass it off to your peers that are completely different thinking or consuming content than you normally do. So
100%. Yeah. I always have, like, if you know your, do you guys do like your personality? What is it? Myers-Briggs?
Yeah. We've done like, we're like totally separate on almost everything except for we share the same goal and like we have the same kind of value system and all that. But like the way we get there, totally different.
Much every personality test we've ever done, we're polar opposites.
Yeah.
You're perfect then. You two should bounce ideas off of each other for funnels. That's great. That's exactly what you want.
Yeah, no, it helps. Sometimes it's the decision of sticking in the idea phase. We just got to get someone to like, no, go. But yeah. That's what's going to be this worksheet.
Yeah, stop thinking, move, go, do it,
pretty much.
Exactly. You can always fix it later. It's always going to be as perfect as you want it to be. So
sweet.
Yeah, well, cool. ready, fire, aim, right?
There you go.
Like you just said.
Yeah. All right. So cheat sheet, worksheet, whatever it is, we'll link it up here, unless you found the link. I don't know.
I'll send it to you guys. Cool. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but yeah.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes. Then.
Sweet. We'll do that. And anywhere else that people should go, you know, figure out or, you know, talk to you, connect.
Yes, go to activatebranding.com. That's my website. You can find the sheet there as well. But activatebranding.com, you'll see we can schedule a call with me or take a look at any of the free resources I have there, some blogs and all that good stuff.
Sweet. And last question, we always like to do this. What kind of book do you go back to a certain book all the time, or you find yourself recommending to other friends that you'd like to share? I mean,
I'm a huge, my Brian Tracy books are here, but no, this one is Breakthrough Advertising is what I go back to. This is like just your standard classic. It's the Bible. It's your come to Jesus for all things marketing. Anytime you get a roadblock, like I just go to my Breakthrough Advertising Bible and I just get inspired right away.
Eugene Schwartz. Yep. That's a good one.
Very cool.
Sweet. All right, Felicia. Thank you so much. We're probably going to act on like 50% of what you gave us, like literally in the next day.
Well, no joke. We started lining up webinars. We got a webinar coming up next week, a webinar in June, and a webinar in July. And we haven't done webinars in like 3 years. So like we're just sucking up as much webinar info as we can right now.
That's great. Hey, let me know if you want me to poke some holes. I'll be here all day.
You can give me a case study too when it's all done. So, all right. Thank you very much. Let's go enjoy the rest of that beer outside.
Cheers.
Right. Cheers.
Bye.
Do you want to learn the hard skills necessary to support your favorite shows? Well, cool. Our friends Gina, Haley, and Mel created something called Podcast Production School. Now, it's an online course designed to help you master the skills and strategies needed to launch, manage, and grow podcasts, including things like audio editing, show notes creation, and promotions. So download their free podcast production or their launch checklist today at podcastproductionschool.com/go/flowchart. Again, that's podcastproductionschool.com/go/flowchart.
Thanks so much for tuning into that episode. I hope you dug it. I know Joe and I dug it. I actually kicked Joe out of the room. He's not here right now because I wanted to tell you about a tool that I really, really dig. We use it in our business. We recommend it all the time. It's called Easy Webinar, and it's a tool that lets you do live webinars, automated webinars, hybrid webinars, and you know, pretty much any other kind of webinar if there are other kinds of webinars. But anyway, this tool is kind of like your all-in-one do-it-all tool for anything webinar related. It's Easy Webinar. It's put out by a dude named Casey Zeman. He's been on the podcast. If you haven't listened to that episode, it's a killer episode. He's a really smart dude, but his software is amazing. It does everything. It's, you know, the title tells you exactly what it does. It's an easy webinar platform. And we use this in our business to run automated webinars all the time. We don't do a lot of live webinars these days. We like to do the kind of automated webinars where somebody can register and then it, you know, they can either watch it like 15 minutes later or they can watch it the next day, but it's just kind of always running. And it's a system that helps us make autopilot sales off of our webinars. Super cool tool. If you haven't tried it yet, you know, it's an amazing tool. And Casey is actually hooking you up. He said for listeners of Hustle and Flowchart, I can't believe he's doing this, but he said for listeners of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast, he's giving 25% off of the membership to use Easy Webinar. It's already super, super inexpensive for what it does and all the cool features it has, but he's hooking you up with 25% off because you're a listener of Hustle and Flowchart. Go to easywebinar.com/hustle. That's where you can get that 25% off discount. That's easywebinar.com/hustle. It's an awesome tool. You're going to dig it. So just go grab it. Check it out. easywebinar.com/hustle. See ya. No, not see ya. You'll hear me in the next show. I don't know. I don't know how to close these things. Go get Easy Webinar. Talk to you later. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.
Go get it.
Wiki.